My grandfather, the man whose example I try hard to follow, was a gifted storyteller, I think in large part because of the many experiences he had growing up. And I never tired of hearing his stories, from the time I was old enough to comprehend, all the way through the very last days of his life. Even now, my daughters could tell you several of them, even though neither of them ever met him, as he passed away before they were born. They have, however, heard a fair number from me through the years, whether they wanted to or not. My grandpa grew up on a farm in the late teens and early 20s of the last century, and life on the farm back then required everyone to do their part, which is where a lot of his best stories came from. He did everything a farm kid was supposed to do, with helping with the animals and crops and helping around the house. He also tried to do what he could to help with putting food on the table through hunting and fishing, and also adding to the family coffers through running a trap line in the fall and using the proceeds of what he caught to help his family buy supplies. He trapped whatever was available, but one of his primary targets was an animal that I had a hard time wrapping my mind around, the skunk. Welcome to Bristol Bay Field Notes. I'm Terry Fuller, Education Specialist for Togiak National Wildlife Refuge. All right, to be completely forthright, yes, I realize we don't have any skunks in Alaska, so you're not going to learn about an Alaskan mammal today. What brought skunks to mind for me recently, and rattled them around in my head as a topic for today, was a conversation one of my daughters and I had when she asked me if Alaska had any skunks, and when she found out no, well, why not? I'll confess, I don't know the why not part. Maybe it's too cold? But over my years in Alaska, I've often been puzzled over the fact that we have no skunks. They make it far enough north into Canada that it wouldn't be really any different than parts of Alaska, and they'll eat pretty much anything, so I don't think it's a food availability issue either. Don't get me wrong, I'm not suggesting we need to start a campaign for a skunk relocation project to our state. I just find it curious that Alaska is skunk-free. Most would say that's a huge blessing. With skunks on the brain just a little bit of late, I'm going to take us off into the weeds a bit today to take a look at these fascinating, if much maligned, mammals. Skunks and I go way back, and not because it was some ambition on my part, or likely even theirs. Kansas is overrun with skunks, even as Alaska is bereft. Because skunks are outdoors, and I spent my time outdoors, it was natural, to some degree, that we should cross paths. And it happened more than I would have liked. I have managed, almost wholly over the course of the last two decades, to avoid entanglements of any type with skunks. Such was not the case with the first half of my life. Skunks and I, without any real dedicated effort on my part, often crossed paths, and usually they won. Here's one early memory. At some point during my later elementary years, my dog got in a fight with what I thought was a cat. It was dark and visibility was sketchy. I tried to pull him apart, only to discover the cat was a skunk. My dog and I both lost that one, and in hindsight, I'm fortunate that all I got was sprayed. I don't think my mom ever picked up on that particular silver lining. During my high school years, I spent time hanging around the area fish and game office because I fervently hoped to work for them someday as a biologist. I'd help out the two biologists assigned to our area, doing whatever I could, and hoping to glean what I could from their experiences in the hopes it had helped me somewhere down the line. Our area game warden, Valerie Hayworth, was also a part of that office, and one of her duties was to deal with problem animals around residences. Most of these problem animals were skunks. She was extremely overburdened, with too much area to cover and not enough hours to do it. Because I trapped, she'd often ask me to assist with nuisance animals, and I was only too happy to help. Again, this didn't always end well for me. What would often happen is the female skunks would move into town in the spring, burrow under houses, and there give birth to their young. Homeowners, as you might guess, weren't particularly happy with their new tenants. My job was to evict them. I used box traps to capture problem animals, and then I'd drive them far from town to release them. Periodically, I'd have to dispatch one with a firearm. Sometimes in the execution of this job duty, bad stuff happened. How bad? One particular skunk, ironically, at the residence of my now in-laws, managed to hit me square in the chest when it sprayed, Horrific timing on my part. When you're close enough to the skunk, the musk doesn't actually have a chance to dissipate into the air. As a result, I wound up with yellow liquid running down the front of my shirt. I'm somewhat convinced my olfactory sense was permanently damaged that day, much to the consternation of my wife in our day-to-day living now. Life sometimes presents some very odd cycles, doesn't it? During my college years, I used to trap to help pay my way through school. I ran an early season coyote line each year, which was a lot of fun. Once in a while, I'd catch a skunk in one of my coyote sets. I normally managed to keep a safe distance and deal with things without the issue of getting sprayed, but on one occasion, I was mistaken about thinking I was safe, perhaps due to my faulty sense of smell. I dispatched a caught skunk at enough of a distance that I thought I was free and clear. Imagine the awkwardness when later that day my zoology professor, which was kind of ironic, came up to me in class, sniffed the air around me, leaned in, and informed me that my presence was not required in class that day. True story. My most recent skunk incident, and really the only one since I've been back in Alaska, didn't actually involve any real skunks. While teaching third grade here in Dillingham a number of years ago, the topic of skunks and their trademark scent came up during the reading of a Battle of the Books book. None of the kids in my class had ever smelled skunk. It just so happened that a week or so before, I had gotten an order of trapping lures in the mail, one of which was a red fox lure that was made up mostly of skunk essence. The following day, I opened the bottle close to the window, so the kids could understand just how potent the aroma of skunk can be. Well, that backfired. Those closest to the window started blinking rapidly and tearing up. Everyone backed away. Sophie Woods came into my room from the room next door and said, "What's that smell?" It seemed like a good idea at the time. Ah well, the best laid plans. I braced that night for angry phone calls that never came. Regarding the actual animal, skunks for the longest time belong to the weasel family, and it's true that weasel family members also have musk glands near the anus. Skunks were eventually separated out as being their own type of animal. Skunks have two scent glands, one on either side of the anus. By squeezing muscles around those glands, they're able to powerfully spray out a mist of foul-smelling musk to a distance of about 10 feet. And it can carry. Trust me on that one. The musk is a combination of seven sulfur-containing compounds, and while it gives them an uber-effective defense mechanism, well, no animal wants to tangle with them, not really. It is their last line of defense. They only carry enough musk for 5 or 6 squirts, and then it takes a week and a half for their bodies to replenish that amount. Before using that tactic, they'll first posture with their body and hiss and growl. When it comes time for that last line of defense, they'll turn and point their rump at you and raise their tails. At that point, it's in your best interest to do your best impersonation of Usain Bolt and sprint for all you're worth in the other direction. There are primarily 4 types of skunks across North America: spotted skunks, hognose skunks, hooded skunks, and striped skunks, and there are variations of each of those. Far and away the most common is the striped skunk. That's the one that I had so much experience with. Striped skunks are black with 2 white stripes starting at a white cap on the head and going down the back before fading into a large tail. The pattern is actually very similar to what you'd see with the wolverine. They're about 15 to 20 inches long and with a tail that's 10 to 15 inches long, and they weigh 4 to 10 pounds. The head shape looks to my eye something like the shape of weasel family members. Skunks usually nest in burrows constructed by other animals, but they also live in hollow logs or rock crevices. They also like to get down under houses, as I mentioned earlier. In colder areas with longer winters, they'll sleep for several weeks when it's really cold. The female gives birth to between 2 and 10 young each spring. I mentioned that they'll eat pretty much anything. They are very opportunistic with regards to food. Their diet includes fruit, plants, grains, insects, larvae, worms, bird eggs, reptiles, other small mammals, fish, human garbage, and carrion. They are polygamous, and mating season is the one time they can really get fierce. A single male will put together a harem. He mates with them and over the course of a month or so, defends them against other males. Fights between males can be brutal, with biting leading to bloodshed and sometimes serious injury. In terms of their polygamy, here's another way to think about it. The cartoon character, Pepe Le Pew, was founded on an actual kernel of truth. The only real consistent threats skunks face are humans, through trapping, and some types of raptors, particularly great horned owls. Owls love skunks. I read where one owl nest that was found had 57 skunk carcasses in and around it. Again, skunks are not found in Alaska, much to the relief of, well, pretty much everyone. They are, however, a very iconic mammal across most of North America. If somehow you've never smelled skunk before and feel a need to cross that off your bucket list, let me know. I might be able to help out with that. For Field Notes, I'm Terry Fuller. Music from Loon Echo Lake provided courtesy of Solitudes at www.solitudes.com.